Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hi, this is Nick Anastasio, story editor on Star Wars The Clone Wars and Star Wars Bad Batch. And you are listening to Aggressive Negotiations.
Hello and welcome to Aggressive Negotiations. And I have to say, it is one of my favorite times of year. And with me here this week, as he is every single week, is the one and only Jedi Master John Mills, as we get ready to celebrate the only annual holiday here on Aggressive Negotiations, Thanks Gungan.
That's right. Thanks Gungan, the one holiday where you don't have to complain about your workers putting up their decorations too early in the year, or Thanks Gungan carols being played too early on the radio waves or the HoloNet. You don't have to worry about any of that with Thanks Gungan because it's a special tradition, one that stays focused on the specific time of year where it's supposed to be celebrated. Because what holiday season would be appropriate without kicking off with Thanks Gungan? And so, yes, here we are at Thanks Gungan 2022, and it's going to be an interesting one, Matt. I think this one's going to be full of surprises for everyone, or possibly not. I don't know, because, you know, we didn't get a whole lot of Star Wars this year. Yeah. We got a little less than we expected, actually. We got a little bit less than expected. There were originally some things slated for 2022 that got pushed back, but we never release a wine before its time, as Orson Welles might have said. So I want to ask you right off the bat, what is something you are thankful for here in this Thanks Gungan?
Well, you know, we could always start with a Thanks Gungan carol. You know, how porgs are roasting on an open fire and that Octu.
A classic.
Mist nipping at your nose. Yes.
I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. Sith exactly. Nog. Definitely my favorite
sipping
drink of the
Sith
season.
Sith Nog. There by the fire.
Yes. Oh, there's Darth Vader.
Oh, that's something that I am actually eternally grateful for in Star Wars, is that somebody created the Sith Yule log that you can use on your television.
Oh, yes.
And it goes for like 10 hours. So just 10 hours of roasting Sith.
You got to love it. You got to love it. Just watching Darth Vader burn, that is a special treat for the season,
classic.
Isn't it? It might play on one of my monitors at work on a regular basis during the holiday season.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, John, I was thinking back through the year as we get to Thanks Gungan, and I was thinking of the things that have come out, and I was reminded, you know, that the very first thing that really came out at the beginning of the year was the Book of Boba Fett. And, you know, regardless of whether I loved that series or not, you know, one of the things that was so much fun in that in those episodes. Were the Mandalorian sections. And, you know, the beauty of the Bryce Dallas Howard directed episode, which was so phenomenal. And, you know, Grogu being back. And, of course, actually getting to visit the Jedi Temple of Luke's as it's being created. So, you know, I've got to say, whether I love the series or not, it really didn't matter, because it did give me some great things like that to be very thankful for.
You know, I think that one of the things I'm thankful for from the Book of Boba Fett in specific has to do with the terrifyingly accurate CG work for Luke. because it was absolutely mind-bending to look at exactly how far they came simply from Luke's appearance at the end of the second season of The Mandalorian to there is leaps and bounds in and of itself. And the fact that it was a really good performance. And I sat there and I remember saying to my wife, I said, I remember Mark Hamill of 1983. I'm looking at Mark Hamill of 1983. That's the guy right there. And that was pretty trippy. Now, I know that if we go with the time frame that we have, it's really, you know, Mark Hamill of 1988, 89. But, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. I was very amazed with that work. And Star Wars, regardless of where you land with how much you loved a specific work of it, has always been a trailblazing property. And that's where it belongs. And so at the very least, seeing that ILM and Lucasfilm are still taking opportunities to put themselves at the forefront of new technology to wow the audience.
Yeah.
That I am grateful for. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I think that it's so neat that we've had these opportunities to be able to see, somebody like Luke Skywalker at the end of The Mandalorian season two. And then, of course, here in the Book of Boba Fett. And I think that's really cool. I'd also say, John, I got to be thankful for the fact that the Book of Boba Fett saw the return of one of our, my favorite bounty hunter. I know one of your all-time favorite bounty hunters, and left us with the question, which I always love, of what his fate is. So, I mean, goodness, that was an incredible face-off. And all I can say is, I hope he's not dead, because I just want more.
More Cad Bane is always good. And I still remember when he is walking out of the desert at the end of the episode, when he's about to have that first showdown, and seeing the silhouette and knowing in 0.3 seconds that it was him. And saying, oh, they did it. They did it. They brought him. It's Cad Bane. It's Cad Bane. Now, do I wish I'd had more of him?
You crazy sons of Gungans, you did it.
That's right. I very much wish that we would get more. Will we? I don't know. But I do know that we'll likely get some more Cad Bane, I'm hoping, as the Bad Batch keeps going. And I was expecting to be thankful for season two of The Bad Batch in 2022, but alas, that'll be for next year. So let's just put a pin in that we know we're going to be grateful for that next season. And I can only hope that maybe, just maybe, since he has been in there in the first season, that maybe Cad Bane, I don't know, maybe he gets a little spotlight on him somewhere else there.
Well, and he was so good in the first season, which was fantastic. I can't wait to reach that episode in our commentaries, because I really did enjoy that. But no, I'm right there with you. I mean, it's one of those things. And I think this is for a lot of Star Wars, and even Star Wars that's, especially as we're talking about on screen, I think the neat thing about it is even if you don't like everything about something, you can tend to pick out pieces of something that you do like, which I'm always appreciate about Star Wars, is it finds a way to be able to do that, which is awesome. And I'm really glad that that's the case. What was something, John, that stuck out to you that you really were excited for with Star Wars this year?
I'm just going to go straight for it. I know that maybe other storytellers would build to this, but I'm just going to go straight for it. Tales of the Jedi was a show that I never watched even a trailer for, it because I received some very good advice, knowing my personality, not to watch the trailer for it. And I stuck by that, and I didn't read any spoilers, and I didn't see anything outside of just a poster for it that made its way around online. I said, ooh, that looks good. And I am grateful for Tales of the Jedi, specifically because, again, just like that Mark Hamill of 1983 effect that they have in the Book of Boba Fett, it's Star Wars getting in the mix again. It's Lucasfilm getting in the mix again and saying, new environment, new audience demands, new audience expectations. We're going to deliver these bite-sized episodes. These are content for the modern era. Kids aren't going to sit and watch two-hour movies every time. Kids aren't going to watch even 30-minute episodes every time. You hit a sweet spot of 12 to 15 minutes, you've got an audience. Trust me, as somebody who watched Aqua Teen Hunger Force from the beginning and is thrilled that they're going to be coming back, 15-minute episodes are wonderful. They're an absolute wonder because of the fact that short form allows you to fall in love with something without the fear of overcommitting your time. And then when you layer on top of that, that those stories were so brilliantly executed, so masterfully put together, so wonderfully edited, so magnificently scored, and so perfectly voice acted, that is, you can look at a piece of entertainment sometimes and say, boy, that's really great craft. You can look at another piece of entertainment sometimes and say, that has elevated itself to art. Very rarely do you say that's craft, that's art, and I feel like I see a piece of the soul of everybody that worked on this. They cared so deeply. And Tales of the Jedi, I cannot emphasize enough how much I adored it, how much I loved it from beginning to finish. And though I still, that Dooku arc, those three episodes are still with me playing in my head constantly. I think about that guy all the time now. Not to take anything away from Ahsoka, because I love seeing Ahsoka, and I love the fact that we're getting a little hype around Ahsoka going into her show that's going to be coming out. But man, just what an absolutely wonderful series that was. I know you agree with me on that one.
No, I mean, I think it is very interesting that the best things that have come out for Star Wars this year have been in the fall. And I think you rightly pinpoint Tales of the Jedi as being one of the absolute pinnacles of 2022 for Star Wars. And like you, it is one of the things I am absolutely the most thankful for, because not only did it live up to my expectations, but it exceeded every expectation I could have possibly had for the series by delving into stories I didn't even know that I wanted in some ways. You know, like, I've always wanted more information about Dooku, but just the way that it was done there was so wonderfully crafted. Like you said, you know, I can absolutely see the love, the blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into every single frame, which is phenomenal. And, I mean, you know, that series created an entirely new character for me that I'm absolutely in love with and will forever now be one of my most favorite characters ever, which is Yaddle, played by the incomparable Bryce Dallas Howard, who knew she was such an incredible voice actress as well. And I mean, so she can act, she can direct, and she can voice act. So what can't she do? She's like the triple threat. And I mean, it just, but that arc, I mean, and this is the beauty of that. As you were talking about, you know, the fact that this is a very short, you know, these are very short stories that are very to the point. And yet, they're also stories that are so well crafted that now I want more of the stories for these characters, you know, especially Dooku, especially Yaddle. I mean, there's just so much it feels like you could do. I mean, I was even thinking, like, how awesome would it be to have like a young Qui-Gon animated show?
Oh, please. Listen, look. Give me a Tales of the Jedi that's a 6-episode arc showing Qui-Gon going from Padawan to Master to the first time he meets Obi-Wan. Mm-hmm. And then flash forward and retell a tiny bit of the battle at Naboo that cost his life. Right? Like, that would be a beautiful, beautiful arc. Free idea there, Lucasfilm. Free idea. But I mean, we all know I've been clamoring for stuff between the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones era. like seriously, the Phantom Menace Attack of the Clones era has become that sort of thing, like the Clone Wars were back when we were reading the books originally in the 1990s. It was this mythical era. We know something happened, but we never knew specifically what. And that's another reason that stuff with Dooku is so great, because it's little tidbits, little clues, little pieces. And I would hope that we can get more Tales of the Jedi, or at least more storytelling in this format along the way. But I want it on the condition that they don't churn it out, that they let this team that made this take their time and decide what stories they're going to tell. And the thing is, if you look at the streaming numbers,
they're big.
They did pretty darn good. Like I know I should have said well, but I was making a point. But I think that result in the era of streaming, that hopefully lets somebody up there say, okay, let's let them have another season if they want it. This is literally like, I don't want the band getting back. I want Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers together on that next album, right? Like don't just throw something out there, which I don't think they ever would with something like this. That's the magical thing. It's like you watch something like Tales of the Jedi and you can tell, again, getting back to that care point, that this is something that is, that this has that force field around it. Because this is that true, to your point, Star Wars storytelling. It's hyper-focused, but super deep. And I'm going to go out there. I'm going to catch you by surprise, because we've had our quibbles here and there. But once it hit its stride, I became extremely thankful for Andor, because on the other end of the spectrum, it's giving me a hint of what that 1313 show could have been. Like that sort of different type of storytelling. It's a little bit more. Look, we all know that I think there are some episodes that took a little longer than they should have, that there were a couple of things that could have been combined, moved around, that sort of thing. But that's just me being me. Once Andor hit its stride, I have completely been in. I'm thankful they made this show, because this is a different type of Star Wars storytelling, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the care from a different perspective that this is showing for the property, and its commitment, I'll say, just in terms of sound design, its commitment toward experimenting with music that isn't just John Williams' clone for live action. That this is a show that is pushing boundaries in a thoughtful way, the same way that Kevin Kiner has done with all of his work with all of the stuff that he's done for Lucasfilm. So highest compliment I can give it is that it's very Kevin Kiner reminiscent in terms of what they've done with the soundscape for Andor. But I am thankful for Andor.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm really thankful for Andor for is because I feel like it took the bar of Star Wars television and turned it into, theatrical level everything. I mean, from acting to production design to special effects. I mean, I, John, do you ever watch an episode and a scene doesn't look real? Like that you feel like it's actually happening in a real place, even the ones that are full of special effects?
I think that it's a very thoughtfully produced show with some tremendous production design. And what I think that the production design is very slick about is that, intentionally or not, and I have to believe intentionally because I've been a Lucasfilm fan since the beginning, there are definitely homages to Lucas's other works in there, as well as the more guerrilla filmmaking that he was in that school when it was coming up. You look at THX, there was that, what can we do? Oh, well, this is a parking structure. We can do something with that. Okay. What can we do to make it look a little more futuristic? And all it is a parking structure, but they do a couple of things where it's just like the sound design of X-Wings, where it's like, I hear jet engines when I listen to it, but that just couches it as a sound that I accept as an engine would make, sort of thing. You just tweak it a little bit. And so, yeah, I think Andor's done a magnificent job with that, of combining what is obviously, you know, like that beachfront town or whatever, having that brutalist architecture that really exists, and then just, okay, well, we'll just CG in a building in the background, sort of thing. Yeah. This is the smart decisions on how to build those environs.
Yeah, no, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think the other thing that I'm really thankful for there is the fact that we're getting more Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma, who, you know, I think is just an incredible actress, but it's really just bringing to light that character who, you know, is such an enigma in Return of the Jedi. And, you know, this, I think, and along with, you know, what you see in Rogue One and Rebels, is all really fleshing out a really important and really interesting character. And so absolutely 100% thankful for that. You know, I think to me the ultimate highlights of this year are, you know, Tales of the Jedi and Andor when it comes to Star Wars. It just been phenomenal. And, you know, I think one of the cool things about Andor is that, like Tales of the Jedi, I think it's infinitely rewatchable, because I think it's one of those things where, you know, once the first season's done, you'll be able to go back and rewatch it and really enjoy it even more, because you're going to see all the ways that the storylines interconnect even better. And then the same thing, you know, is going to happen, you know, when the whole series is done, because they're only doing two seasons. And, you know, and so I think that's going to be really cool as well. And then you'll flow right into Rogue One, and then you're going to be like, well, I got to pop in A New Hope now. And then, so it's fantastic. I love that stuff. And I love the way that, you know, one thing makes you excited for the next thing in Star Wars when it's done right. And I think, you know, that's something that this is really doing. So, you know, something else that, I'm actually pretty thankful for, there are a couple of really good books that I enjoyed, that came out. One was called Brotherhood, about Anakin and Obi-Wan during the Clone Wars. And incredibly written, Mike Chen really did a great job of capturing the voice of those characters, especially in that time period. And so very much enjoyed that. And also, I had a good time with The Scoundrel and the Princess, telling the story of Princess Leia and Han Solo getting married. And of course, their time on the Halcyon. Which, you know, I may or may not be a huge fan of the idea of that, you know, park idea, you know, but the storyline was actually really, really fun. And I thought, really well done. So, and I'm such a huge fan of Star Wars literature that, you know, it's nice to have a couple of, good books that I really enjoyed.
I did not go as gaga for Brotherhood as you did, but I agree with you. I'm not going to belabor that. I will agree with you that I think that Mike Chen is a gifted author. I think he's a very good writer. And so it accomplished the right job in this sense, that it made me want to seek out his other books and read them. So kudos to him for being a good enough writer for me to say, I like how he turns a phrase. I like how he voices his characters. That's not a small achievement. So regardless of anything else, I agree with you. I think Chen is a really good writer. I haven't read Scoundrel and the Princess. I think I sort of dug my heels in and I said, I'm not going to buy something that's synergistically tied in so cynically to trying to get me to stay at that damn hotel, but maybe I'll cave and buy it. I don't know. I don't know.
Yes.
I'll see.
You know, you know, something else, John, that I'm thankful for here in Star Wars for 2022, it's the time when I finally visited Galaxy's Edge, and we did that together.
Oh,
which
that's
was
right.
Very yes. fun. And I, you know what I'm really thankful for that I actually still think about in my mind? I'm back on Batu, and I'm having a Ronto wrap, either for breakfast or for mm-hmm. lunch or dinner, because goodness, those things are delicious.
They sure are. And that fuzzy tauntaun is weird how it numbs your lip, isn't it?
It is very weird. So
it is. And everything else aside, like I agree with you, the Ronto wrap is great. I loved being able to take you there and get to see your reaction for the first time and actually see it, because I know everything else aside, Doc Ondar's is pretty cool.
Yes. Well, and standing in front of the Falcon.
And seeing,
it's pretty awesome.
And I, that's what I was going to say. That's a legitimate mm-hmm. Falcon
is.
Right there.
It's very
that's
cool.
That's something where you say, well, that's pretty yes. cool.
Yeah. Well, and even, you so. Know, and it, you know, that Falcon ride and getting to walk into the Falcon, you know, you get to, I, you know, I got a chance to sit real quick, you know, at the Dejarik table. It's cool. You know, it's, mm-hmm. It's a neat experience. And so, no, I thought that was really fun. And, you know, I got to say, Blue Milk's not bad. It's not bad at all. So, especially on a hot day, it's definitely worth it. So, that was
it's better than green milk.
This is true. But it's also, it was really fun to not only get a chance to finally go, but it was one of those things where to get to do it together. You know, Star yes. Wars is what brought us together. And so to be able to experience that together was a blast. And, you know, always thankful when that's an opportunity. And so hopefully, you know, maybe next year we'll do it again. So,
well, you know, hopefully you'll be able to get Ahsoka's sabers or something like that, because they'll still be high in demand, I imagine, when
I'm
the
sure.
new show comes out.
I'm sure. Well, that, you know, well, I'm actually really thankful that. And this is very random, but that fans voted that they wanted Kanan's lightsabers to show up at Doc
yeah.
Ondar, because Kanan's lightsaber is so beautiful. And it is actually one of the sabers to which, you know, I would love to have the hilt for, because he just has that unique saber. Like, you know, a lot of them mm-hmm. kind of look a little bit generic, but his is just really beautifully crafted. Strangely enough, for an animated character, you know, you just like don't think about that, but they did a really good job with that. So that would definitely be one I would like to have. And I'm thankful that fans thought like I did and thought, you know what, I'd like to have Kanan's lightsaber.
Yes, yes. And to see it one day sitting in a case alongside Darth Sidious's and Plo Koon's, that's pretty wonderful, I'd say.
You know, just a few more things that I'm thankful for. One, I'm so thankful that we finally have a release date for The Bad Batch Season 2, and it's coming
yes.
out in February, so it'll be very close. You know, I'm so glad that's happening. Of course, we got Mando Season 3 coming out next year, and I believe Ahsoka is supposed to drop as well. So we've got so much good Star Wars that is coming out next year. So I'm just thankful that that's on the horizon to be able to look for, and, you know, really starting off the year with a bang with Bad Batch Season 2.
I can't wait. I'm thrilled about it. I think it's the right way to start the year, because it is one of the shows that I very much invested in, and I very, very much want to see what happens next. I'm giddy with anticipation. And it'll be something that'll really help help with those, you know, seasons being a relative term, wintertime
yeah.
doldrums
yeah.
That are there. Winter doesn't really exist where I am. It's more of an eternal swamp. But hey, that is what it is. But of course, you know, what thanks Gungan would be complete without the requisite always being thankful that Star Wars has been there. Star Wars has always been something that I know it's so deeply ingrained in my own life that I always tell the joke, there are ex-girlfriends who smile when they see Star Wars, and there are ex-girlfriends who will never watch Star Wars again in their lives, because it's just a part of my identity. And it's like, I'm both, you know, you're welcome, or I'm sorry, depending on the circumstance. But most importantly, of course, like you said earlier, it's the thing that brought us together. Two besties, two Jedi Masters, and it brought us together with other people as well that we are so grateful for. And, you know, the holiday season is that time of year where you take stock and you say, anything else that I've gone through this year, anything else that might have been stressful or worn me down or aged me in some way, at the very least, there's this thing that brought me together with these people that I love and are key parts of my life. And it, that's, you know, that that's what makes, that's what people don't understand, is Star Wars acts as that glue for so many people, just like Star Trek does for people, just like Harry Potter does for people. But that's what sets those really special franchises apart, is it's that communal thing that people can enjoy together. And it's, that's what it is like, you know, the old myth making, it's about telling stories that everybody can sit around the campfire with.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it really is crazy just what you can mention Star Wars in a room, and it's amazing to see all the people that can light up when you mention it, and like the ones who get excited for it. And I love that it's not always the ones you would think, right? You know, it, people can surprise you, and Star Wars is something that so many different types of people love, and I think that's really cool. And absolutely, you know, the fact that it brought us together, we still have friends that we talk to together, you know, that we've met because of Star Wars, and we have chats that continually go on. You know, I have friends that I other friends I've known for years because of that as well. And you know, like one of them lives in Seattle, and every time my wife and I are up there, we try to go see him and his wife. You know, it's just like, that's the kind of thing that Star Wars can do, is it can bring you together. It can be the first thing that brings you together, but then, you know, so many times you end up finding you have so much else in common too. And, you know, that's a special thing. And, it makes me just not want to take Star Wars for granted, you know? And it's just like, again, you know, we didn't really mention it, but like, you know, Kenobi came out, and whether or not it was my favorite show or not, Ewan McGregor was back. Hayden Christensen was back. The fact that those two got the love that they deserve, like, that's right. You know, that's what Star Wars is about, is seeing people.
I'm glad you said that.
Get that love that they deserve, because, you know, those two guys are guys that took a lot of bantha poodoo for too long. And I think they've finally gotten the respect that they deserve. And regardless of whether or not that show was great, they were fantastic in it. You know, and so I am eternally grateful for the ability of Star Wars over the years to find ways to win people over. So it's pretty awesome.
Yes. You know, I think that's a great note to wrap up this Thanksgungan. And again, we are going full on into the holiday season. And I am thrilled because Thanksgungan gets us one step closer to Life Day.
Yes.
And I'm a traditional Life Day celebrator. So, you know, that's something to look forward to as well. But all in all, you know, Master Rushing, if people want to tell you what they're thankful for in this season of Thanksgungan, where can they find you?
Well, you know what? I hope that they do find me on social media with the hashtag Thanksgungan. You know, let people know you listen to the show by letting us know what you were thankful for with that hashtag. And you can do that, of course, at the Jedi Masters, where you can find both John and I. But then you can find me personally all over social media under the name MattRushing02. I am on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and Vero with that same exact name. You can also find me here on the network. I had a completed show that I did with Drea Kaufman. We talked about every single chapter of the Harry Potter series, one chapter at a time, on a show called Owl Post. And then I'm over on the TFM network with a bunch of shows. One is called The 602 Club,
And that is where we talk about every fandom that we love. John is frequently there. In fact, we did an in-depth review of Tales of the Jedi you can check out, plus so many other franchises, Marvel, DC, Bond, you know, I mean, the list is endless. You can also find me doing Warp 5 about Star Trek Enterprise, The Orb about Star Trek Deep Space Nine. You also find me on Literary Treks about the books and the comics of Star Trek, Saddle Up about Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and The Artificial Tango about Star Trek Picard. But John, you know, maybe people would love to be able to share what they are thankful for in Star Wars. So where would they be able to find you?
Well, you can find me as usual as for many years as Kessel Junkie, KESSELJUNKIE. I like to have fun on social media. I don't take things too seriously, even things that maybe I should take seriously. But, you know, hey, it's my style. You can also find me here on the network co-hosting a show called House Lights, where we look at the work of directors and we have all sorts of different combinations and fun ways of doing that. So that's where you can find me there. And like you said, I am over on the 602 Club from time to time and with Assembling Avengers and Snyder Cuts. And I, you know, since we're talking Star Wars here, can't wait to see Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon, which is inspired by a Star Wars script that they didn't want to produce. But hey, at least he carried forward and I get to see it in some way. And yeah, so, you know, all that said, Master Rushing, I think it's time to head back and get our roast porg and our Sith Nog and close these negotiations.
John, negotiations are closed.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.